the Lord dropped this word into my spirit, and the word is deception. Yeah. And I pondered it, and I researched it, and I spoke to the Lord about it. And so today we're going to talk about the spirit of deception. Okay. So what is the spirit of deception? You know, when we speak of the spirit of deception, what do we mean? So let me start by telling you this. The spirit of deception is from the devil. Pure and simple, it's from the devil. You know what? The Bible says that the devil is a liar. Don't we quote that? The devil is a liar. Right. Absolutely. The devil is a liar. And in John 8:44, listen to what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, "You are of your father, the devil, and you will do his desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Amen? Deception is a lie, right? People are lying. The spirit of deception. And the spirit of deception comes from Satan himself. Now, let me explain this. This is not one spirit. When we say the spirit of deception, we're talking in the plural sense, because this is his demonic host, demons that have been sent by Satan to deceive and to lie. Amen? The spirit of deception is very subtle. It's very subtle. It uses false truth. False truth. It's not truth. It's false truth. Amen? It's false truth. He uses this false truth to convince people, amen, that their actions are right and are acceptable to a loving God. What does the spirit do? It distorts doctrine and convinces people again that their actions are based on the word of God. Have we not seen this?
Yes.
Yeah. They believe that their acts, it's a false truth, it's deception, and I will get into that later. It's deception. They are convinced that God condones their actions. When did this first happen? This is exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. Did not Satan distort the truth of God? He lied to them. He said, "You will surely not die." No, they didn't die physically, but their spirit died. And that's what lives forever. Amen? So Satan took the word of God and he distorted it. This is a false truth, a half truth. A half truth is not a truth. Truth is truth. Amen? So this is what Satan does. He distorts the word. He has people believing in it. And so they act based on this distortion of the word of God. Amen? What's the result of a deception? The spirit of deception. What's the result of this spirit? The peace that God gives you slips away because you believe the lie. Haven't you noticed that the spirit of deception has taken control of the world, of our nation, of the church, of our families, and most heartbreaking of all, of our children? The spirit of deception has permeated this world. have to give you this background because I need you to see what the spirit of deception is doing. Look at the world. Look at this world. Haven't you noticed how our nation is operating in fear in every sector? Fear of the Chinese dictator, right?
Yeah.
Xi Jinping. Fear of the Northern Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un. Fear of the Russian dictator, Putin. Fear of the Iranian dictator, Khomeini. Our actions are based in fear. The world is operating in fear. Amen?
Yes.
Have you not noticed Putin's campaign against the Ukrainian nation? A genocide of a people? Does God condone that? Have you not noticed how Iran has come so against Israel? Israel is surrounded by nations that want to annihilate Israel. Is that of God? You have to look at the world. You cannot live in a bubble. In order for you to see the spirit of deception operating, you have to be alert. You have to look at what's going on in this present time. Amen? You know that Iran has vowed to dissolve the Jewish state. In other words, to annihilate Israel. You know, and I'm not going to get into all the details because we've spoken about this before. You know what the nuclear, what's going on with nuclear...
Nuclear battery.
Amen. You know that, right?
Put this away.
But what has God said? You got to get into the Word. What has God said? Let me show you what God says in Zechariah 2:8. This is what God says. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory, he has sent me against the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. If you read the book of Zechariah, you will know that he is talking about the nation of Israel. I don't know what your feelings are about the Jews, but let me tell you something. God chose that nation. God chose the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. God chose them. And no, they're not serving the Lord right now. Yes, they are a secular nation. But God said that in the end times, he will draw them back to him. And he has said, he who blesses you, I will bless. He who curses you, I will curse. Don't look at the nation that is secular and look at that nation as God has chosen them. And we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we are to pray for all the other nations that they will come to know the Lord. They are deceived. There is only one God. There is only one door. The Word of God says the door is Jesus. There is no other door. Look at this. In Psalm 12, 121.4, verse 4 says, behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. In the end, the victory will be God's. The victory will belong only to God. Amen? Isn't this a massive deception of Satan on the world? I'm not going to get into the statistics, but you have no idea how many nations in the UN have come against the nation of Israel. A spirit of deception. Isn't that what the Holocaust was about? A spirit of deception. Isn't that what Satan has perpetrated? From the very beginning, he wants to destroy the seed that was to come forth, and that seed was the Christ. That seed was Jesus. Because he knows that when Jesus went on the cross and provided salvation, he provided salvation for humanity. It's a gift if we receive it. If you receive it, amen? So he has perpetrated this massive deception. If you go throughout history, you'll see how Spain persecuted the Jews. All along the Romans in the very beginning, during the time, right after Christ, the Romans persecuted the Jews. They have been a persecuted body of people all throughout history. Can you not see the deception? Can you not see how Satan has deceived the nations? What about our nation? What about our nation? We've enacted laws contrary to the will of God. Our nation has codified, has made into law, same-sex marriage. It's the law now. Amen? Now let me say something. We do not hate homosexuals, lesbians, transgender. We don't hate these people. Many of us have some of them in our own families. Let's be upfront. Amen? But you know what? We hate the sin. We hate the sin. It is not of God. Amen? For our nation that was founded on Christian principles to become a nation that says that same-sex marriage is okay. Yeah. And it put it into law. Same-sex couples have the same benefits as heterosexual couples. Yeah. Not talking about the benefits, but I'm talking about the actual sin. And no hatred against people, because the word of God says, let them come. Let them come. Come all ye that are heavy laden. Come, come. But so that we can give the word. And the word can change them. We can't change anybody. We are not the Holy Spirit. We are not God. All we can do is give people the word of God in love. Amen? God, the word of God says in Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God did not create a third sex. God created a man and a woman. And if you ever study the physical body, they join perfectly together. Amen? Now, in all this is going on in our state and in other states, where people are trying to establish that gender is no longer based on biology, but based on how you identify yourself. Let me tell you what God says. God says in Leviticus 18:22 and 20:13, God says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. And then in Romans, God says, for even women exchange their natural use of what is against, for even their women exchange their natural use for what is against nature. So why are not in love with saying this is not of God? Why aren't we preaching, come back? Come back. Come back to the love of God. Yes, God loves you, but God doesn't love your sin. The word of God says that neither will inherit the kingdom. Neither. In 1 Corinthians 6:9. Paul writes, neither homosexual, sodomized, la la la, will inherit the kingdom of God. There's such a deception going on, and we have to face it, and we have to preach the word of God. I heard a person that was living that lifestyle once on a YouTube video say, nobody ever told me, nobody ever preached to me the word of God. They never told me that it was wrong. we can, I have told people that it's wrong on a one-to-one level. I'm not saying how you should preach it, but I know that I've done it on a one-to-one level. In love. Have persons accepted it? No. Many of them have not. But that's a seed that is planted. And God will send somebody else to water that seed. And someone else will reap the harvest. Amen? I'm just trying to give you a background on the spirit of deception that is permeating our world. And then we'll get to what God says that we should do about it. What about the church? What about the church? These lying demons have infiltrated the church. We got prophecies going forth that are not of God. We got prophets saying words that are not of God. People declaring them. Have you not heard in the past 3 to 4 years how many prophetic words have gone forth? Words to affect people, to affect our government, to affect our behavior, to affect our actions, one against the other. Men and women call themselves prophet. They speak to the people. But are they speaking truth? What is a prophet supposed to do but call a nation to repentance? Call the nation to revival. But yet the words are coming forth to affect, to cause division, to affect how the government should treat one people and not another. That's what's been, I mean, can you not see it? Have you not seen words coming forth to initiate hatred among people and to initiate division among people? Is that of God? The word of God says you shall no longer look at each other from the flesh, or by the flesh, but by the Spirit. By the Spirit. You're my brother if your spirit aligns with my spirit and both of us were serving the Lord. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. You know, God says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Just because you receive a word, do you run with it? Do you not test the spirit? Do you not see if that word is of God? Many people have made mistakes by assuming that a word is of God. But test the spirit. Who is that word coming from? Is that person submitted to the Lord? That's why there's so much deception, because people are speaking words. Look what the Lord says. In Jeremiah 14:4, the Lord says, then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying for you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and delusions of their own minds. Deception. Let's be honest. And if you don't receive it, that's fine. Did we not see that in the past 3 years, 4 years? Did we not see hatred and division generated by the church itself? How people were coming against people? No matter, you know, dividing our country. There is such a spirit of racism on our country today. Today. Why? Because of lies and Christians that call themselves prophets and promoting words that were not of God.
That's right.
The word of God says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. We're not talking about fruit, we're talking about actions. Do you follow a man or a woman whose actions do not conform to the word of God? I was in the church and the Holy Spirit said to me, audibly in my ears, the Holy Spirit said to me, or you love the man or you love me. And I got up and walked out of that church. I walked out. Let me tell you something. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But many a man in ministry, many a pastor begins right. They begin right. Many of them. They love the Lord. But let me not get ahead of myself. Anyway, that's what the Lord said to me. Either you love the man or you love me. Amen. There's a lot of false prophecy. By their fruit, by their action. Is a man or woman serving the Lord? Amen. What does he preach from the pulpit? What does he or she do when they're out of the pulpit? What are their actions? That's what it means. By their fruit you shall know them. And yet the church was idolizing men and women whose actions did not at all conform to the word of God. Test the spirits. Test the spirit, the word says. The Lord says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is torn down, is cut down, and thrown into the fire. What is the Lord saying? They will meet their justice. You may not see it come in this world, so don't get depressed when men and women that should be, I hate to use the word prosecuted or taken into account for what they've done. When nothing happens, don't get dismayed. Don't let it get to your heart, because in the end, they will have the justice of God. God will judge them, and God is a righteous judge. We can't judge, but God can. Amen? Amen? Look at the pastors, as I was saying. The spirit of deception has infiltrated the church. Pastors, like I said, have stopped preaching the uncompromised word of God. The word of God is from Genesis to Revelation. That's the word of God. You cannot pick and choose what you want to preach based on what you want people to believe. There's a lot of preaching going on out of context. The word has been taken out of context. And so I can make you believe anything I want you to believe. But I'm accountable to God. And if it's not in the word, I'm not going to preach it. Pastors and women who began as righteous men and women of God have become lovers of self, lovers of money. And now, and I'm not talking about our church or our pastor, because I know our pastor, but I'm talking about the many that have become lovers of self and lovers of money. You see them on TV all the time. All the time. Amen. Amen. They place themselves on pedestals. Hey, I remember hearing this minister say to the church, and it was in a, and I've shared this before, it was a little old Spanish church, and when he got to the pulpit, he said, don't ask me for anything. I'm just a man. I put on my pants like every other man. And I admired that in him, because what he was saying is, don't worship me. I'm just a man. And he said, when the Holy Spirit comes in, then, you know, that's who you worship. That's who you adhere to, but not to a man, because we're all human. And because we all make mistakes. And because none of us is perfect. And we will not arrive at perfection until we are transformed into that immortal body that Christ has for us. So we need to forgive each other. and lead each other the right way, although many will be led astray by the spirit of deception and will refuse to come out. God calls his people to come out, come out, come out of what is destroying you. These pastors, they take a scripture out of context. They say, don't touch the anointed one. You can't touch the anointed one. Well, they say that because they don't want you to criticize them. They don't want you to see what they're doing. They don't want you to be critical of what they're doing. But we're all human, and we all make mistakes, and we all have to be accountable. And one day we are going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because God says judgment is left to the Son. So we're going to stand before the King of Kings, and his judgment will be righteous. And we have to be accountable for what we've done in this life. And everything before we became saved, and everything before that is under the blood. You will not be judged of what you did prior to salvation. And if you are really saved, your judgment will be a judgment of rewards. We won't be judged for salvation. And we won't get into that. That's called the Bema Seat of Christ. Amen? And that's another lesson. Amen? But, you know, pastors have put themselves on pedestals. They love money more than they love the people. The love of money has replaced preaching the word of God, and what they preach is money, money, money. Amen? They preach what? To enrich their pockets. My gosh. My gosh. Do we not look how the spirit ministries have started right in the beginning? In the beginning. What do they preach now? Send all your money so I can buy a jet plane. So what do you care if I have two or three jet planes? That's what they preach. They're enriching their pockets. They live in multi-million dollar homes. There is nothing wrong with a minister who has a large congregation making several hundred thousand dollars if the congregation can afford it. But they buy themselves $15 million homes and so on and so forth. Is that God? Is that God? Yeah. Or are we not supposed to, you know, the pastor ministered on what does God require of the church in the beginning? And that's one of the scriptures that I have, but I didn't write it out. Read Isaiah 58. When you have time, read Isaiah 58. Read Ezekiel 34. And you see what God is saying. Woe to the pastors. Woe to the pastors that don't take care of the sheep. Woe to the pastors that only look to enrich themselves. That's what's going on in the world. Spirit of deception permeates even the church. We have to be careful. We are the church. It's not a building. We are the church. We have to be careful that that spirit of deception doesn't overtake us. Amen? And you know what's a major deception in the church? The church has become a place of entertainment. How can I tickle your ears? How can I make you feel good? How can the choir perform? Have you noticed a lot of choirs? It's all performance. Where is the worship of a holy God? Yeah. Where is the worship of a holy God? Why? Because this tickled the ears of people, and people want to do this. Oh, my Lord, you can't imagine what I saw two nights ago on YouTube. I was shocked, shocked, shocked. This minister's wife, oh, God, I even hate to say this. She was twerking before the choir, the minister's wife.
Oh, my
God. Do you think that that is of God? That's insane. Has not the devil, the spirit of deception, permeated the church? This woman, I said, oh, my Lord. And what she had on was a disgrace. We serve a holy God. Did we not sing about this holy God that we serve? You know what Jesus said? Jesus, when Jesus went into the church and they were selling stuff and all that just to make money, it wasn't giving food to the poor. It wasn't helping the poor. It was men in the church, Jewish, you know, it was a synagogue, in the synagogue, and selling sacrifice, animals of sacrifice, and they were stealing. They were stealing from the people. They were pricing them and what did, higher than they should be. And what did Jesus say? He took a whip, right? I mean, that's the way we see him, whipping them all out of the church. My house shall be called the house of prayer. House of prayer. That's what Jesus said in Exodus. Isaiah 56, 7 and 8. I found that also. My house shall be called a house of prayer, a safe place, a safe place, a place where we can enter into the presence of God. The presence of God. What is the presence? When we're into the presence of God, what are we on? We sang it. What are we on? We are on holy ground. We are on holy ground. When the presence of God comes in, you're on holy ground. And yet our churches have become a place of entertainment, a place of tickling the ears. Let me preach. I mean, you've seen it on television. I mean, you have to. They don't preach the word of God. They give you a little story and they give you a motivational message. That's good, but say what it is. It's a motivational message. It's not preaching the word of God. We need the word of God.
Amen.
Let me talk about our families and children. And I hate to say this, but I have to say it. Many, many families have members that believe they are saved because you recited a few words. Anybody can recite whatever the minister tells them to recite. But are you really saved? Are you really saved? Did you do it with your heart? Did you allow the Lord to become Lord of your life? Did you allow the Lord to affect change? Is it easy? No. Because as the Apostle Paul says, the flesh fights against the spirit. And many a times we do the things that we do not want to do. And we're all guilty of that. But are you really saved? Salvation is complete surrender. It's surrender to the Lord. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do about this, but I surrender my life to you. I may not agree with you, but I surrender. You know how many times I have said to the Lord, Lord, that's not what I want. That's not what I want. But I have said, I surrender. If it's what you want for me, change this heart. Change this heart that it'll be submitted to what you want. That's the attitude of a saved person. You have to surrender. You have to be willing. Listen to the voice of, what's his name? I want to quote something to you. He is the grandson of Billy Graham, and his name is Will Graham. This is what he said. He said, they got religion but missed the voice of God. In short, they received just enough of the faith to think they're safe without allowing it to transform their soul, change their life, and alter their eternity. Change got to come. I'm not saying that you're perfect, that I'm perfect. No, do we blow it? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Do I get angry? Do I get annoyed, not to use other words? Do I say things at times that the minute they come out of the mouth, the Holy Spirit says, you said that, right? And I have to go in my room and I have to say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Yes, we do these things. But are you willing, and am I willing for him to transform me so that I may become the woman that he has called me to be? So that when I stand before his throne, he will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He didn't say thy perfect. He said thy good and faithful servant. Is your heart good? Does your heart want to do what God wants you to do? Amen? That's what salvation is about. You accept all the things that are said in the Bible. Jesus died and rose again, and today he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you and me. I believe that with my heart. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Transform my life. The Holy Spirit will do that. The Holy Spirit will do that. Amen?
Amen. Thank you.
Let's talk to our children. We have children that are deceived. I have. Or grandchildren that are deceived. We need to talk to them. We need to give them truth. Not in a judgmental manner. Not screaming at them. Not taking the Bible and knocking them upside their heads. No. But in a loving manner. This is what the Word of God says. And I have to give you truth. Amen. And talking about families, what about gender identity? Have we not heard people say, look at this deception. God created male and female. Different bodies, totally different bodies. And yet, oh my Lord, in the past couple of years, look at this movement. Look at this rainbow. They have taken the rainbow, which is the promise of God, that he'll never destroy the world in a flood, and it has been taken to identify a group of people. Where is the church? I was born this way. You remember?
Yeah.
The artist that made, I was born this way.
Yeah.
But something went wrong. I was supposed to be a boy. And I was born a girl. God made a mistake. And yet every area of their body says girls. No chromosome says boy. And yet that's what they want to perpetrate. We, the church, we have to bring them back. You know, God is perfect. God does not make mistakes. If you're born a boy, you're supposed to be a boy. You're born a girl, you're supposed to be a girl. The word in Psalm, Psalm 18:30 says, as for God, his ways are perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. His word is perfect. Matthew 5:48 says, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Deceitful spirits, spirits of deception. Many of these spirits have come in when the children were very young. Very young. Have you not had boys or little girls that want to dress in boys' clothing or vice versa? They weren't born then. This demonic spirit has come and influenced them. I don't know all the hows and whys and wherefores, but this is what has happened. And so they believe the lie. They believe the lie. Amen? And they're sent by Satan. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. Look what the word says. In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And that's what's happened. Such deception. And such deception. You know, and I'm going to be tying this up in a few with, I want to give you how we respond. I suddenly, because I like to watch YouTube, right? So I see this video that says transgender testimony, something to that effect. So this girl is saying how from the time she was 3, she believed that she was meant to be a boy. And she goes on how she started transgendering and how she looked like a man. She showed pictures of herself. And then she got saved in a church. A guy in the gym invited her to church, and she got saved. But she still had certain tendencies, and things were still not being totally correct, and she was working on it and working on it. And one day, and she wasn't feeling right about herself. And one day, she asked the Lord, and she said, "Lord, why did I think this way? Why did I think that I was supposed to be a man?" And so on and so forth. And the Lord, she said, she fell into a vision. And the Lord showed her a vision. And the Lord showed her a man and a woman. And then he showed her their descendants. Descendants. Then he showed her a man and a man and a woman and a woman, and there was nothing. She said there was only a red line drawn underneath them. And she said, "Lord, what is this about?" And the Lord said to her, see the man and the woman? They have brought forth the descendants that I have called them to bring forth. You see the man and the man and the woman and the woman? You see the red line? Satan has lied to them so that they will not bring forth the generations that I have called them to bring forth. So you see why? Because we are God's ultimate creation. When God created man and woman, he said they are very good. He didn't say they are good. He said they are very good. This was the pinnacle of the creation. We are the pinnacle of the creation of God. And so how does Satan hurt God, if that's possible? How does he do it? By destroying the pinnacle of God's creation. And this is what the Lord showed her. Amen. And you can check it out. Try to find that video on YouTube, and it'll be more explicit. And finally, Satan has deceived our children in the area of respect. Children feel that they have a right to come against their parents when they don't agree with their parents. God said, children, obey your mother and father, right? So that you can live long on this earth. That's a promise from God. Amen. He says, obey, Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And yet today, I mean, I'm appalled. I go into more, and it's not only little children that are acting up. I see teenagers arguing with their parents in front of everybody. And I have seen them cursing their parents out. I'm appalled. What? Spirit of deception. Spirit of deception. These demonic forces have come against us in every area, and you have to discern them. And you have to see, you have to judge them. You have to judge what's going on. So how do we respond? And I'm going to be closing it up. How do we respond to this and avoid this spirit of deception that has permeated every area of our lives? How do we respond? Let me tell you this. Number one, know that anyone can be deceived. Anyone, you can be deceived, I can be deceived. If you think that you're immune to deception, then you're deceived. That's what's happened. The Christian church has been deceived. And I'm in Florida, and I see it a lot. I see Christians holding a banner of the cross and other banners and rejecting people and hating people. It's very prevalent. Is that of God? You know, God says, don't mix with an unbeliever because they can lead you astray. But God doesn't say hate. You know what deception, you know what deception is? What deception really is? I mean, we know it's brought forth by demonic entities. Amen? It's when you're doing something wrong and you really believe it's right. It's not when you know you're doing something wrong. You're not being deceived. You know you're doing it wrong, right? We know.
Yeah.
But it's so much deeper. It's when we get swept away by the wrong idea and we become so convinced that it's the truth. That's why I say it's a false truth. They take a little bit of truth and they distort it. Beware of that. Be careful. You know, I'll read you 2 Timothy again, Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires. And that's when people allow themselves to be deceived. When I want to be in this extramarital relationship and we're not married, but you know, God forgives me and it's a good, there's nothing wrong with this. You become deceived when you feel there's nothing wrong with it. It says that they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, to fables, to lies. That's what's happening today. That's what's happening in the church in a major way. So know that you can be deceived. That's why you have to be on the alert. That's why you have to be careful. And so what's the best? What can you use to allow you to know if you're being deceived or not? What can you use? Is it not the Word of God? Is it not the Bible?
Yeah.
Compare your behavior to what the Bible says. Compare to what somebody is telling you to what the Bible says. If the Bible says do not steal, and this person is trying to sell you goods that were stolen, well, you have to come back and say the Bible says I cannot steal. And you may not have stolen, but you bought them from someone that sold them, stole them. Right? If the Bible says you shall not lust after your neighbor's wife, and you find yourself lusting, you know, you got to, anyway, my point is this. You got to compare. What does the Bible says? If somebody brings you something and says, well, you know, knocks on your door and says, well, you know, Jesus was a created being. He's not really God, because the Bible says that he's the Son of God. So that means that he was born. So if he was born, how can he be God? Right? That's a false doctrine. You compare it to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? That God became flesh. And that God took on flesh. Amen. That the Holy Spirit came over the woman. Amen. You have to look at what does the Word say about God. These are false doctrines that have gone out. Amen. If the Bible only means, if the Bible only, this movement of Nazism and all that. This hatred of the Jews. If the Bible is only for one sector of society or for one race, what does the Word say? Everything line it up against the Word. What are you doing? What do you want to do? What does the Word say about it? That's your best protection, the Word of God. If a preacher is preaching and something is not right, go to the Word of God. Whether me or anybody, go to the Word of God. Amen. Listen what Hebrews 4:12 says. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We cannot separate the soul from the spirit in the natural. That's a higher level of understanding. And yet the Word of God does that. And the Word of God is living and powerful, and it discerns. It tells you. The Word of God says that you're healed. The Word of God says that on the cross of Calvary, he took the lashes, and by his lashes we are healed. But medical science and everybody else wants to tell us that we're not healed. So what do? We proclaim the Word of God. We keep proclaiming the Word of God until that healing is manifested. Amen? Because he's the healer. Amen? He said, God, the Word of God says he healed all that came to him. But if you don't come to him, don't expect your healing. If you're going to live in the natural, you're going to live in the natural. But we're supernatural beings. Amen? We're a spirit that lives in a body and has a soul. The Bible. The Bible. Line everything up with the Bible. And finally, cultivate a relationship with whom? With the Holy Spirit. Did not Jesus say, I will send the Spirit and he will reveal all truth of mine? He told his apostles and his disciples, don't worry. I'm leaving you, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he will reveal to you the truth of me. Cultivate a relationship with the one who will help you. Not only discern the word, because you cannot read the word as a book. You have to read it as a person submitted to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit opens up the word to you. Have you not read the word and you have said, wow, I didn't see this before. Wow, the Spirit is speaking to me. Have you not been on the road or doing something and all of a sudden you know, no, I can't go that way. I can't drive that way. I know I can't drive that way. I can't explain to you why, but I can't drive that way. No, I can't do this. Do you not know that it's the Holy Spirit Amen. That's living within you, that is telling you? Amen. Amen. I can tell you many stories, and we won't get into that. Even for things that were not spirit things, even for buying clothing where the Holy Spirit led me to get exactly what I wanted. At a cheap price. You know, cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. Don't be quick to speak. Hold your tongue a bit and say, Holy Spirit, should I say this? And Pastor knows this because I've said to the pastor. I tell the pastor, you know, Pastor, I can't lie because I never remember what I said. So I'm going to put my foot in my mouth. So rather than do that, I don't say. When I'm having a conversation with somebody and I really don't want them to be in my affairs, I won't mention it. Or I say, no, I don't want to talk about that. You know, refrain from speaking so quickly, because once those words are out, they are going to hurt. They're going to hurt people. And you're going to hate that they came out so quickly, that they came out. And you didn't give the Holy Spirit time to check you. Or he checked you and you just blurted it out anyway. So know that God sits on the throne. Know that you're healed. Know that he wants you to line up everything with his word. Know that you are to take time before you speak. Check everything out. Check the lifestyle of the people that are telling you what to do and how to do it. Check out their lifestyle. Are they people that are living according to the word of God? Check out the church that you're in. Check out what the pastor is saying. Does it line up with the word of God? Check out what the worship team is doing. Is it honoring God? Check out what the members are doing. Remember that you're standing on holy ground. Remember that you're standing on holy ground. Remember that there's a time of reverence. What happened to the reverence in the church? We get in and we all start talking and carrying on. Where's the holiness? The reverence of God. Amen? You're blessed? Thank you. Pastor Bernice.